You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
No gain without pain. That's life. It is the life of Christ, and it is the life in Christ.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord Jesus Christ, by the pains of your cross, lead us to the great gain of living in the power of your resurrection. Turn our faces from fear to faith, that we may endure even as you did, with complete confidence in God our Father to save us. Hold out your healing and helping hand to the sick and the suffering, we pray. Give us all such trust in you as will carry us through the pains of life and death, knowing that you have conquered all, and you are Lord indeed, O Christ. In your name we pray, as you told us to pray. Amen. Most people would do almost anything to escape pain. In our well-upholstered world, ease and comfort often become the goals of life. Pain and difficulty are evils to be avoided at all costs. In the mad quest for ease and comfort, more and more people are willing, like Dr. Faustus, to sell their souls to the devil if that means a few fleeting moments of success, security, ease, and comfort. This is the day of the painkiller for everything from gout to gallbladders, from headaches to nervous tension. This is the day of escape from reality. All of a sudden, the world is waking up to the fact that there is no easy way to make a gain of any kind without some pain. This is life. You can't drown your problems in alcohol. You can't dream them away with drugs. You can kill yourself, but that's mighty poor gain to avoid the pain. Boys and girls would like to get through school without working too hard. There's not a single student, no matter how bright, who has not had to work for it. Oh, you can sit around watching television for 15, 20, or 25 hours a week instead of doing the work you're supposed to do. But everybody is the poorer for it, and most of all, yourself. There is no gain without pain. That's the way life is. To resign yourself to that fact is not to surrender to something that could be avoided. It's not something that could be changed if only we would exercise our intelligence a little bit more. This is life as it has to be lived. This is life as the Lord Jesus Christ himself experienced it, though he was the Son of the living God. If anyone in the whole world should have been able to avoid pain, it certainly would have been Jesus Christ. He did not make the mistakes people make and bring pain upon themselves. He did not cause the injuries that bring pain to others, as well as to those who have caused the injuries. He was altogether human, but he was not one apart, a figure out there somewhere, distinct from humanity, as some people have tried to make him out to be. The glory of the gospel is that he became a man, a human being, experiencing life as all of us experience it, and feeling pain as all of us are bound to feel it. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ offered up prayers and pleas with strong cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard out of his humble devotion. And yet, although he was the Son of God, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. He was made perfect and became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. People often forget the pain which the Lord suffered. He is a conquering hero, but he did not get there without pain. Pain makes him one of us. He shows the way for everyone. He is the way for everyone. He is, as he himself said, the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life are the way of pain, the truth of pain, and the life of pain. There's no getting away from the nails and the thorns and the cross. There's no crown without that cross. There's no gain without pain. Athletes preparing to win in the games find that out for themselves. They know the pain of long training sessions, the strain of muscles, mind, and patience as they strive to strengthen their stamina to meet the test. Performing artists know there is no gain without pain. In his autobiography, Arthur Rubinstein tells how he heard Vladimir Horowitz play the piano for the first time somewhere in Europe. Although Rubinstein himself was already a world-acclaimed artist, he suddenly realized, after listening to Horowitz, that one cannot be a sloppy technician and sustain the kind of reputation that he had attained. Rubinstein does not tell us in his autobiography how he finally became one of the finest artists with the highest techniques in the world, but you can read between the lines. It took a lot of hard work and some pain. There's no gain without pain. Take the handicapped, who have to struggle in order to do the ordinary things that most people take for granted. I have seen some magnificent achievements by people like that, whose limbs responded only after arduous exercise and stretching and pain. I've seen people recovering from an injury with physical therapy that was mostly their own work, although they were assisted by others. It is hard and often painful. There is no gain without pain. No matter who you are or what your life has been, there is no gain without pain. There's also no gain without learning from that pain. What good is all the pain if you never learn anything from it? Many people never learn. I'm not able to explain everything about the life of Christ, but I know one thing. It was not one grand success story. It was not an easy glide from here to there. He was born as we are born, with pain. He died as all of us have to die, with pain. Birth is painful and death is painful. So is life between the cradle and the grave. Life is not a thing of glory from beginning to end. Even when you know God, as the Son of God most certainly did know his Father, it is pain, overcome by the persistence of faith and love, of which Jesus Christ himself is the beginner and the ender. Through pain, one of his men said, he has become the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. People certainly do suffer. On the afternoon when I prepared this little talk to you, I visited a woman in the hospital who has been hit by every kind of pain you can imagine. She lost her husband suddenly while he was cutting the grass for the first time at their new home. Not too long after that, it was discovered that she had cancer. The pain upon learning the news was probably more for her teenage son than for herself. This afternoon, she was recovering from another operation, another slice of surgery. This one not nearly as hopeful as the one she had undergone before. It is not that she has not felt the pain, but she has something that makes her cheerful and able to throw off the load, which would otherwise be unbearable. She said, I have peace, the peace that passes all understanding. If only the evil suffered, we could understand it a little better. If people suffered according to their deserving, it would not bother us so much. What does bother us is that there is so much suffering that is hard to explain. Parents who try to raise their children in the right way with love and discipline, and something goes wrong. Children who try to keep father from beating up mother, and nothing they try seems to work. Brothers and sisters who try to get along with one another, and no matter how hard they try, it does not work. People who worked hard all their lives, being as thrifty as they could with their resources. But something happened to make them wind up unable to take care of themselves in their old age. When I confront pain that seems to be totally undeserved and senseless, unfair and needless, I think of the cheerfulness of that woman whom I visited in the hospital that afternoon. She really did not have much hope of coming out of all this with regained health. She's perfectly sure that God has a care for her and that His will is good and gracious. She had that conviction, and she died with that conviction because she knew God. Jesus Christ knew His Father. Knowing His Father, it always seemed strange to Him that people should have so little confidence in His Father. "Oh, you of little faith," He said to His disciples. "How is it that you cannot believe in My Father? He takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. How much more will He take care of you?" Jesus Christ knew that His Father made no mistakes. That's hard to believe, especially for people who criticize God all the time because He's making so many mistakes. If they had it to do, they would do it differently. When the pains came, though He was the Son of God, Jesus Christ came to His Father with prayers and pleas and even with strong cries and tears because He knew that His Father was the one who was able to save Him from death. That's what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews said. He was probably thinking of that night before Jesus was crucified, when He came to the Father about this cup that He was about to drink, this cup that He had been asked to drink, and cried with prayers and tears, "Father, take this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." As the writer of the letter to the Hebrews said, God heard His prayer. He did not take the cup from Him, but He gave Him another cup, the cup of glory, of gain through pain. "The Lord Himself learned obedience," said this follower of Christ, "from the pains that He suffered. And being made perfect in that process, He has become the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." It is hard to submit to the will and the way of God. Learning to walk the way of obedience to God is to walk in the steps of the Lord Christ Himself. That was the way He took, and that way brought Him to the glory He has. As this same writer says at the end of his letter, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily entwine itself around us, and let us run with persistence the race set before us, with all the pain that it brings, looking to Jesus, the beginner and the ender of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. And now He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's the story of Jesus Christ. The apostles kept repeating it, and we keep repeating it today. He was bruised for our iniquities, and with His stripes we are healed. We do not propose any solution to the world's problems or to the personal problems of people except this one. Not His sin, but ours brought Him low, and He took it in all obedience. The glory of His resurrection lifted Him up on high. His obedience was answered by God, who raised His Son from the dead and declared Him to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. The point of all this is simply this. He has become the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. That obedience is the obedience of faith in Him. It means following him because you trust him. You have trust that he forgives your sins when he says he forgives your sins. You trust him to give you life when he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You go with him in all obedience to his will and way because you know that he is Lord. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord, turns pain into gain. A lot of people suffer pain, but they have no gain from it. They're just as far away from God after their pain as they were before. Without faith, their experience is utterly wasted. Faith in Christ turns pain into gain. Pain helps you to learn how to live the life in faith. It helps you to learn that when you have confidence in Jesus Christ, even pain turns into gain and glory. That requires some exertion. I was watching the great Italian tenor Luciano Pavarotti on television one night. When this magnificent singer prepares to hit a high note, he girds himself with all his 300 and more pounds, like an athlete getting ready for the superlative effort. And then he hits it. And it is magnificent. It is beautiful, stirring, the product of years of pain preparing for that moment. No gain without pain. That's life. It's the life of Christ. And it is the life in Christ. It's God doing his work in you, preparing you by pain for the great moment of glory when you will open your eyes and see him. It is fulfillment in grace and glory of what St. Paul was always talking about. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything in all of God's creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Don't be afraid of the life, which calls for discipline and obedience, filled with patterns of love and service set by the Lord himself. Don't be afraid to be his man or woman right where you are. Forget the pain. Remember the cross. Get the gain. And remember his resurrection into glory. Learn of him. But his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. He's promised it. Go with him rejoicing. The capital gains of pain. And enrich your life as you go and grow with the Lord. Will himself render obedience to the things he suffered, and was made perfect to be the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Look to Jesus, the beginner and the ender of faith, who for the joy stood before him and endured the pain of the cross, forgetting the shame of that cross. And now look at him. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. Look to Jesus and be saved. Look to Jesus and live. Look to Jesus and count it all gain. That having endured pain with him, you may also enjoy the gain for being glorified together with him. Amen.